Like I said, today we're going to be talking about our identity. Now, I'll let you know I'm not going to get into a lot of kind of the psychobabble stuff that maybe you can hear from, going to the counseling section at the bookstore. But this is something that is life transforming. Have you ever heard of the 90-10 principle about attitude? Attitude is 10% what happens to you, and what's the other 90%? 90% how you respond. 90% is your attitude and how you choose to respond to that 10% of life that makes up our situations and circumstances. Attitude can transform your life. Whether or not the circumstances of your life change, when your attitude changes, it can dramatically transform your life. So we're talking about our identity, which is, I am my identity. People try a lot of different things to try to find out what our identity is. I want to do a little bit of the scripture before we read. And Paul talks a little bit about some of the things that we can, and I'm in Colossians chapter 2. I didn't tell you where to turn, although it's up there. Colossians chapter 2. We'll be in 9 and 10 primarily. But I want to start in verse 6 as Paul kind of prepares what he's talking about. Colossians. That is in the New Testament, if you're looking for that, after the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, and then about three short books, and you'll get to Colossians here. So chapter 2, I'm in verse 6. And it says, so then, just as you received Christ as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted, built up in him, strengthened in the faith, as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. We did that in worship today, just thanking him. But then he gives a little warning. It says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human traditions and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. And there's a lot of, you can look up self-esteem and identity, and there's a lot, you can read all kinds of different things about how you could feel good about yourself, how you could build your self-esteem and your self-confidence and those things. And much, much, much of that is based upon human principles and philosophies. And they end up falling short in life. People try to find their identity in the latest book, the latest feel-good book or author or famous person or TV talk show host personality. They're told, just love yourself. People need to have self-esteem. They need to love themselves more. Which is great if you're just some wonderful, lovable person that you are. What about the people who aren't so lovable? What about when we look in the mirror at ourselves and we realize, I'm not so lovable today? And all of a sudden, our self-esteem goes down. What about the addict or the thief or that just person that just is just plain mean? That's their nature. It's hard for them to have a good identity because their self-esteem is love yourself. Well, I don't feel very lovable. Sometimes we get our identity and fitting in with a certain group or people. Maybe it's I got to fit in with my family or I've got to fit in with culture and go along with exactly what the politically correct, the latest and greatest is in order for me to feel I'm thinking right, I'm doing right, I'm accepted. Even to the good things can be our dependence upon our identity. I'm an American. Well, I'll be honest with you. I love my country, but I'm not feeling so good as I have in the past about being an American. Because things are, we're in a rough place right now. I've not given up on my nation, my country, by any stretch of the imagination, but I know that my identity is not as an American, and nor is our country found its identity and its success in being American. Our identity and success was being what? One nation under God. That's what made us who we are today. And that's why we're drifting away from who we were. But if you don't fit in, you can't fit into some certain group, and you just feel like an outcast, well, too bad for you. I guess you don't get to have a good identity or self-esteem. The world says to be popular, to be beautiful, be like the stars. They put themselves up as poster childs for us to all imitate, right, all the time. And they and out of one side of their mouths, they Photoshop themselves and make themselves look unhumanly beautiful, right? People don't look like the stars do. And then on the other side of the mouth, their mouths, they say, "You're beautiful just as you are. You don't have to be anything, you know, do anything to make yourself acceptable. You're beautiful just the way you are." They got two things that they're saying. And our young people look at that and go, "I'm supposed to look like that, but I'm supposed to accept myself like I am." And what, it doesn't make any sense. And beyond that, we've gotten to the place of just sexualizing our whole society and even ourselves. The illusion, like I said, of what's normal is just not normal. It's not achievable by the vast majority of Americans, to look like that. And they also find their identity not in just how they look, but how often you have sex, how you look, and they painted a false picture of what relationships are supposed to be like. Even right down to what the sexual relationship in the home is supposed to be like. Who could live up to what the picture they paint, either in the movies or in all of the songs or in pornography? Who could live up to that? Nobody, because it's fake, it's false, and it's not real. And even finding our identity in relationships. All the movies and songs are about, if you just have this wonderful relationship like it is in this movie or in this book, and it's just not the norm. It's just not the usual. And they find that our identity, we try to find our identity in the relationships. And if you don't have a relationship with somebody, maybe you've lost a loved one and you're widowed or a widower. Maybe you're single for whatever reason. And society's, relationship is what gives you, this is your identity. Well, then according to society, you're out of luck. Unless you find that person just like in the movies, right? And even nowadays, who you love becomes our identity. The idea of homosexuality and transgender, bisexuality, people who are questioning, they are told that their identity is in who they love. Bless you. Yeah, their identity is in who they love. Like, in who they're attracted to. Which would be like me finding my identity and being attracted to my wife, who's had to work today, unfortunately. My identity is in Terry. It's in I love Terry, so that's who I am. Well, we're not told to find our identity in who we love. Our identity is in something far deeper and less transient than who it is I love. Our identity is, as a Christian, as we were created to be, should be that I am God's beloved. Whether you have faith in him now or not, we are his beloved child. He sent his son to die in our place. We are his beloved. And my identity is that I'm a follower of his son Jesus. I'm loved by God. and I'm a follower of his son. That's my identity. I didn't use the word Christian in there, because that's kind of gotten muddied up as to what that actually means. I'm a follower of Jesus, both in how I think and how I live. And I'm loved by his Father who sent his Son. You know, some find their identity in their success and their accomplishments. Pastors even do that. How big is your church? You know, pastors, hey, how's it going? See each other at pastors' retreat. Oh, doing all right. Hey, how's things going at church? I hate that question. I really do. How's things going at church? Because it's begging for, is your ministry growing? Are you being successful? Or are you not being successful? First question out of my mouth, maybe my mouth for somebody else or another pastor for me, or how are things with your soul? How are things with you and God? Wouldn't that be a better question to ask? Yeah. A lot of people, we can find our identity in success and accomplishments. One of the guys that I watched was one of the divers, American divers, David, what's his name, Bodia. And they did an interview with him, and I wanted to find out more about him. What a neat guy and a neat faith story he has. He talked about how his identity, his value is not found in what he's done or who he is. He's excited to compete. He's excited to be a part of the Olympics. He's won a gold medal in the past. He's excited about that. But he knows that his identity is in who created him and who loves him. I've got a video that I wanted to show. There'll be another one too. But this is about him before the Olympics, and he was on the Today Show, I think. And they talked to him about the Olympics that were still to come. So this was several weeks ago. And he apparently wrote a book about how do you deal with success. So let's run that video.
With David Bodia, gold medal winning diver for the United States of America.
That's right, he grabbed gold in London in 2012 in the men's 10-meter platform, becoming the first man from the U.S. to win that event in 24 years. Now as he gets set to compete in Rio, David is coming out with a new book. It's called Greater Than Gold. David, it's good to have you. Let's go back to 08. Yeah. You're in Beijing. Not your best performance, according to you. But boy, you come back strong in London in 2012. What changed?
Yeah, I mean, the whole journey, I bought into this lie as a kid, the American dream of health, wealth, and success, and that's all I wanted. I thought the Olympics would deliver that to me, but I went to it, the door shut in the Olympic Village, and depression set in, and I needed something to fulfill me more than just this worldly success and these fleshly indulgences.
What did you find? What did you find that fulfilled you?
My faith, something that I didn't want anything to do with really when I was younger. Yeah. So I met Jesus when I was in 2009 in college, severely depressed, suicidal thoughts, and then just my perspective changed automatically, just the more I dove into God's word. And
well, you
also Adam, your coach, I know your diving coach and his wife were a big part of your
absolutely
your
they've been pivotal in my career.
Well, you can see there's a serenity about you and a strength.
Good.
And I was just watching you. What did it feel like, by the way, because you're holding your gold medal in your hand?
Oh,
which,
yeah, this
wow,
come on,
man.
Please, this will get you guys into the Rio vibe.
But
right now,
can I do more than that, David?
Yeah, do you want to put it on?
Would you?
Yes,
do it,
please. To be honest,
I just want to pretend for 1 second.
Yes.
In my life.
Yeah, I mean,
how
it'll
did
get
it feel
you ready
when it was being draped around?
There we go. Is that good?
That's awesome.
How did it feel when it was being draped around your neck?
Man, this is like a dream that I had been dreaming of since I was seven. So
wow.
It's hard to put into words like all those moments happening at all at once.
All right. Big dream that he had that was all kind of happening. He saw the unfolding of his life. He went to the Olympics in 08 and bombed. Met Christ in 09 and really began to put things in perspective for himself. And he got what we're going to be studying today. He got who his real identity was. So let's stand together as we read our verse. All right, let's read together. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fulfillment. He is the head over every power and authority. God, help us to just wrap our minds around the magnitude of what this says, Lord God. And boy, bring that huge truth about Jesus, who you are, being God in the flesh, and us having all the fullness of Christ in Christ. And just how do we take that into our lives, Lord? Just take this huge truth and apply it to our everyday practical lives. We pray it. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. You may be seated. Pretty powerful verse here. I'll be having a little get-together on Monday with a Jehovah's Witness friend that stopped by while I was washing my car last week, and we set up a time to get together again this coming Monday. And I'm sure this is one of the ones we'll be talking about, that all in Christ, all the fullness of the deity, all the fullness of the Godhead lives in Christ in bodily form. Jesus, the Son of God, and God the Son. That's one of those Trinitarian scriptures that really help us to put that theology together. Powerful. It says, He is the head over every power and authority. Does God share His authority with anybody? No. It's God the Son that has power and authority over everybody. And it says, in Christ, we, those who have put their faith in Christ, have been brought to fullness in Christ. Not in our marriage, not in money, not in looks, not in success. In Christ, we have been brought to fullness. It's a powerful thing when we stop and think about what Christ did. God the Son left His glory in heaven, Almighty God, set aside His God card, if you please, and took on human flesh and became man. Why would He do something like that? Do you feel like you deserve that? I don't. But He did it. What a powerful statement of God's love that is. And it says, in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. That's available to all of us, to each of us. That's our identity, is Christ that came from heaven and dwelt among men is the same Christ that dwells in us. It's powerful. I have some scriptures that I just want to go through that just help us to recognize what it is that He did for us, what our identity is in Christ. I'm forgiven. I am forgiven. It says in Ephesians 1:7, in Him, or in Jesus, we have redemption, we've been redeemed through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. We have forgiveness. Think of the worst thing you ever did or ever will do, and there is forgiveness in His Son. And that's the fullness of Christ in us. There's nothing that can separate us. Scripture tells us that. Nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Our forgiveness has been paid for and made available through His Son Jesus. We're forgiven. What am I? I'm forgiven. I am loved by God, and I'm forgiven. I'm saved. And you jot these verses down in your faith journals and look them up later. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For it is by grace, God's undeserved love, through faith, that's our response, that you have been saved. It is not of works. None of us are going to be able to stand there and say, okay, I went to church and I was the pastor and I gave this much money and I helped this many people, so that's God why you should be pleased to let me into heaven. No, we say, God, it is simply by what your Son Jesus did for me. I'm putting my faith and what Jesus promised me, that if I would trust in him, that I'd be forgiven and I would receive eternal life. What's my identity? I'm saved through Jesus Christ. I'm saved by the God who loves me. I've been brought from death to life. These were Jesus' words. We were all spiritually dead. We struggle with a God sometimes that, how can there be such a thing as judgment in hell? Well, the problem is that we brought that judgment on ourselves when we sinned. We spiritually died then. So we're in need from the get-go, from birth. The question is, what do we do with the offer of forgiveness and salvation that he's given us? What do we do with that? All we can do is receive it by faith. What's my identity? I've been brought from death to life. I have eternal life, and that eternal life started about 30 years ago when I prayed to trust him and ask him to forgive me. He now lives in and through me. What's my identity? Christ in me. Scripture says in this verse, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live by faith in the Son of God, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Who am I? I'm a formerly dead person who the life of Christ is now alive in me. Wow. I mean, that's my identity. That's who I am. So that's powerful. It's powerful knowing who you are. It's also powerful because it frees us to follow who you are, whose you are. When we understand our identity, that we've been purchased by the blood of Christ, I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price, right? I've been bought with the blood of Christ. It frees us to know who we belong to. So Paul had some words of warning. He said, be careful of those who take great pride in what they know about God. Okay, let me just read here. I'm in chapter 2, verse 16 through 19. Paul said, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival or a new moon celebration or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and in worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up about with his idle notions. He has lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Powerful pardon here is those ones that Paul is warning us of, say, they have lost connection with the head. Who's the body that he's talking about? The church, we're us. Who's the head of the church? Christ, right. He says they've lost connection with the head, and be careful of them. Be careful of the ones that are more concerned about what you do than they are about you. Okay? Be careful about the ones who are more concerned about what you do than they are about you as a person. You ever had somebody that's you're uncomfortable to be around? Not everybody's had this experience. I've had it several times. Where you just feel like you're just anxious around them. You feel like they're kind of watching you, and you got to kind of watch what you say or how you act, or because they might catch you in something. Not everybody's had that experience. I've had it several times in my life. You feel like you're under scrutiny. Paul says it in Galatians this way. He says, brothers and sisters, If someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted to carry each other's burdens, and then this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? The law of Christ? What was the command? What, the command that he gave? A new command I give you. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Yeah. Love is the law of Christ. And when somebody is involved in your life but isn't loving you, that's when you have to stop and step back for a moment. Sometimes God speaks through people. Even sometimes God uses people who aren't really listening to his Spirit. God can use anybody, but sometimes God speaks through people. Sometimes it's just people talking on their own. How do you tell the difference between somebody that's just kind of going after you or trying to give their own opinions on your life and someone that God's working through and trying to speak in your life? Are they willing to walk with you in love rather than just talk to you about what they think? That's the difference. That doesn't mean they're going to get all of a sudden all up in your business and a part of every part of your life, but are they willing to not just talk to you but say, how can I pray for you? Can I support you in this? I just feel like this is something God's speaking to me about. The law of love, it's how we fulfill the law of Christ. And there's power when you have the power of knowing whose you are, that I am God's. We're not swayed by the whims of the world and the people around us. When we know whose we are, we're listening, we're hearing from his voice, and we're following what he wants for us. And we're freed to follow God's Spirit. Follow this Spirit that's in us. Follow his word that's been given to us. And follow God's people who are willing to walk with you through the difficult things of life. So we're freed to follow the one to whom we belong or whose we are. Lastly, we're confident to obey whose we are. We're confident to obey. He goes on to say, and I'm going to read in the next chapter in verse 3, talks about what we should be setting our minds on. Chapter 3 of Colossians, verse 1, he says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. We've talked about this recently. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. It gives us some pretty practical stuff. Things to set our minds on are things that are true and eternal. And he gives a list of things that are false and temporary. And there's many temptations that we have to focus on for how we found value in our lives, how we look upon our decisions and decide what's going to be, who am I, what am I, how am I going to live. And like David Bediah, we can be tempted to chase after what seems to offer that value, that seems like it's, if I could just get that, if I could have that relationship, if I could get that job, if I could have that much money, then I would have success and value and feel like I was somebody. But it will always leave us empty. Adam found that out in his sin in the garden. If I just take a bite of this apple, I'll know good and evil. I'll be like God. Oh, this will be awesome. And God's always said, sin looks good at the beginning, and it will come back and it will bite you every time. It leaves us empty. Some sins, like the ones Paul mentioned, are obvious and they're wrong and we don't have to think about it. Others can be good things. Things that have superseded Christ as most important in our lives. This is the power of knowing what my identity is. Knowing who I am. My identity. I am loved by God. I am His beloved. And I'm a follower of His Son. That's who I am. When you come to things like some of the things that David did, is diving a bad thing? Is it? No? Are Olympics bad? Worked 4 years towards competing and trying to be the best at a sport? Is money bad? No, money's not bad, a bad thing. Is a career a bad thing? No. Are relationships, marriages, friendships bad? Social causes that we feel are important things to deal with? Is it bad to look nice? To have fun? No. Go to the movies? Listen to music? No. But we've lost our true identity when it becomes, one of those things becomes who we are. When it replaces God as our source of value. When, if I'm not having fun, then, I'm not popular, right? Then, I just feel bad about myself. Life's not what it's supposed to be. And if I don't look the way I'm supposed to, if I'm not successful and I compare myself to this person and, well, they're doing better than me. My brother's doing better. My guy I saw at the high school reunion's doing better than me. And all of a sudden, our identity is what? I am beloved of God. I'm His follower. How could there be a better thing than that? But we have to look at it as that. It's real. It's when something replaces God as our source of value and purpose in our life, or replaces Jesus as the one that we follow and obey, then we have lost our true identity. There's power in knowing whose you are, because it affects everything else that we do and decide. So what does knowing whose you are look like in the midst of temptations? We have another video of David. Now, this is after the Olympics, at least this, the diving, synchronized diving. And he had won silver with his friend, who is a believer as well. And so here he is at the pinnacle of his career. He's already won gold. Now he's won silver. And that could be, is that a good thing? Could it be a bad thing? It could be. Yeah, if he was just, I didn't win the gold. Oh, my life is not complete. Well, let's see how he responds to it. Go ahead and let's show the video. We'll pull it up from a website here. Yeah, we knew this was going to be a little bit...
Yeah. need to come out and medal here in the synchro event?
Yeah, I just think the past week there's just been an enormous amount of pressure, and I've felt it, and you know, it's just an identity crisis. When my mind is on this and thinking I'm defined by this, then my mind goes crazy. But we do have to know that our identity is in Christ, and we're thankful for this opportunity to be able to dive in front of Brazil, in front of the United States, and it's been an absolutely thrilling moment for us.
You now have gold, silver, and bronze Olympic medals. How much does this free you up for the individual event?
It does. It takes a lot of pressure off of me, but this never could have happened without Steele, without him pushing me, without him loving me well, encouraging me, and my wife has just been a solid rock, and I couldn't have done it without them.
Well, and Steele, for you, your first ever Olympics, first ever Olympic event, how were you able to maintain your composure so well?
I think the way David just described it was flawless. The fact that I was going into this event knowing that my identity is rooted in Christ and not what the result of this competition is just gave me peace, it gave me ease, and it let me enjoy the contest. If something went great, I was happy. If something didn't go great, I could still find joy because I'm at the Olympics competing with the best person, the best mentor, just one of the best people to be around. So God's given us a cool opportunity, and I'm glad I could have come away with an Olympic silver medal in my first ever event.
Right, congratulations.
Yeah, isn't that cool? It is awesome. I've heard a lot of testimonies from Christians and that have won medals, and you could just see they had their priorities in the right place. Just to highlight what Steele, who was the younger guy, the second guy that talked, he the first guy, David, was the younger guy's mentor. And their coaches are both Christians, and they mentored these young men. And so Steele said, the second guy said, the fact that I was going into this event knowing that my identity is rooted in Christ, not in what the result of this competition is, just gave me peace. So going into work on Monday, regardless of how it comes out, gives us peace. Going into a doctor's appointment when we don't know what the results are going to be, we can say, you know what? I know whose I am, and I can have peace that God's walking with me. If we're having struggle in a relationship, and hey, when you're in a relationship with somebody else, guess how much of that you have control of? 50%, you're half, right? You can't control the other person. God, I got to give 100% of this to you because I know whose I am. And this is how we have to walk through life. My identity. When you get this, it can transform every minor little thing that goes on in your life because you can stop and say, it's all right because I know whose I am. No matter how successful or unsuccessful I will be, God, as long as I am where you want me to be, it's all good. It's all good. So I want you to if you got your faith journals out, maybe jot down in there. I think this is important to do. Identity. I was. What was your identity rooted in? If God has gotten a hold of you with this, and you're sensing, I need to shift my identity from whatever it is that you've been getting your identity from to Christ. Jot down, I was. And say, write it down, put it out there. And under that, in fact, if you want to cross that out and say, write down your identity, I am God's beloved, and I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, period. And that's all him. That's all him. And I just have to walk by faith in it. Amen? Amen. And let that be that reminder for you to say, if I have to go back because I start putting my identity back on that old thing again, go back and look at it and say, nope, this is not going to fulfill me. I got to know where my identity is. Can I ask if there's anybody that God's just really spoke to you that you got to do some shifting of your identity? That you've had it on some wrong things and wrong directions. Is that for anybody today? Yeah? Okay? Yeah? Well, God is faithful. It's already 20 after. But God's, he's told us what we need, right? And you know what we need to do? Walk in our identity. Walk in what we know is real and is true. Let's just take a minute and close in prayer. Oh, Father God, thank you that you've made us such a powerful opening to just walk in what you have for us. And it's simply a step of faith, Lord God. I know that the enemy tempts us and wants to take us in any number of directions, Lord God, anything that takes our eyes off of you. But, Lord, for all those that have made decisions today, nope, I'm not going to have my identity in that anymore. My identity, Jesus, is in you. Thank you, God, for your working in their lives. I know there will be some here that still wrestle with that. They still wonder, God, I'm not sure if I trust you enough to let go of what I've been chasing after for my identity, the thing I've been working towards to make myself happy. I'm not sure I trust you. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd help them, Lord, to just look up and to look in your eyes and to see the incredible love that you displayed on the cross. Help them to know that they know that they know that you can be trusted with their future. Help us, Lord, as we walk in your plans and purposes as your beloved, as Jesus, your followers. God, help us, Lord, to just have that fixed in our minds right in front of us every day to say, I know whose I am today. And Lord, help us to share that with as many people as we can. Thank you for blessing our day. Fill it with your presence and power, we ask it in Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. God bless you, and have a great day in Christ.